A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series. The Cubs come pouring out of the dugout, jumping up and down like a bunch of delirious 10-year-olds. The Cubs have done it.
I'm going to spare everyone my Pearl Jam impersonation.
Come on.
Eddie Vedder today. I'll leave it to Mark. Come on.
That's why we have
Mark on the line.
Oh, come on. Welcome to Second City Sports. I'm on sportsradio.com. Lakina, Evan, and Romy. No Kevin today, but he's doing, you know, something very big, a big project. So, of course, you know, that was Pat Hughes calling. It's been a week already since that whole thing.
Can you believe it? Yeah.
It's one crazy. Week later. And the man, of course, we know, you know why we're playing Pearl Jam and Eddie Vedder, one of our favorites on the line from 670 The Score, does Cubs pre and post at Mark Grody Sports. He's a good friend, Mark Grody. Mark, how are you?
What's going on, Lakina? Now, Evan has a Eddie Vedder impersonation. Is that what I heard? Because I'd love to hear that. That would be much better.
It only pertains to even flow. It was like, you remember when Adam Sandler did Opera Man? It was kind of like that.
Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right, I got
it. So I'll spare you. You know what it's like.
Terrific.
How's it going, Mark?
Yeah. Good. How you guys doing? I am just enjoying the tranquility and peace of the great, big, beautiful city of Chicago that now exists and that is with us from hereafter, that the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, because that's what it feels like now. Now, after all the hyperactivity of Game 7 and then the wonderful parade, and now there's just this kind of peace. Like, you've got, if you are a Cubs fan, a Cubs supporter, a Cubs broadcaster, whatever the case may be, you have the peace of having that with you at all times now in your life, and that's just kind of what it feels like outside right now.
It's pretty great.
Now tell everyone, because you're right there in Cleveland, you're in Progressive Field in the press box. Paint a picture to everyone what that was like, that feeling was like on Game 7.
Well, it probably wasn't too dissimilar from what a lot of people were feeling that were watching the game, because it felt really good early, obviously. I mean, let's just put it this way. When Dexter Fowler starts the game with a home run, that's a jump out of your seat moment. That's Devin Hester returning a touchdown for the first play of the Super Bowl. That's what that is. It's like, holy mackerel, all this build up to this one game, and it starts with a home run by Dexter Fowler. I mean, it is almost laughable. And then you built yourself a nice little lead. I think that we in the broadcast booth kind of went through the same emotions, though, as in, like, oh, man, why is Joe Maddon taking Kyle Hendricks out? He's looking so good right now. Oh, man, why is Joe Maddon now taking John Lester out of the game? So it was like we were all feeling that same emotion. I felt that thing in the pit of my stomach when the John Lester wild pitch allowed two runs to cross, and then obviously the Rajay Davis two-run homer, you know, putting the Cubs, or tying the game, I should say. I did not feel good about the potential outcome of that game at that point. I kind of went in back into my resignation mode of I am resigned to probably doing a post-game show where the Cubs lose the World Series in Game 7. And then, obviously, you know, what happened, and as soon as that the slowest ground ball in the history of ground balls goes to Chris Bryant and he flings over to Rizzo, I'm learning that I am one of the few people for whom the feeling of the Cubs winning the World Series sunk in immediately. Immediately it sunk in for me, because this sort of relief and jubilation met at the exact same point for me of thank God they won this game, thank God they won the World Series, because now we don't have to talk about all the bad things that happened in the past anymore, and we can proceed with an offseason where we're talking about the Cubs hopefully winning another World Series as opposed to breaking down all the things that went wrong in Game 7 of the World Series. So it was a very satisfying experience for me. Let's put it that way. I think satisfying. Satisfaction and relief are the two words that come to mind when I describe my feelings for that.
Two very good words. And you could see it. It's going to be very iconic to see in the future. Chris Bryant throwing to Rizzo in that final out was just great. And Pat Hughes, of course, you were right there for the call just jumping around like 10-year-olds, which is a very young core. So it was great to see. Before we go to kind of off-season moves and concerns, the postseason awards are still yet to be given out. Obviously, Jason Hayward won his, I think, fourth Golden Glove. Mm-hmm. Anthony Rizzo getting his first. And then still, you've got John Lester and Kyle Hendricks in it for the Cy Young. I think Chris Bryant probably going to get that NL MVP. But do you think Hendricks and Lester, either one of them, are going to get the Cy Young?
It's a good question, and I only laugh because I feel like it's probably going to end up going to Max Scherzer.
Yeah, right.
You know, a lot of times voters will, you know, if there's two guys on the same team, they will, you know, even though they're not supposed to think that way, sometimes those two guys will cancel each other out. And you'll go to Max Scherzer. Not that he wouldn't be deserving, because at this point, there's not one guy who, if they were to receive the Cy Young, you'd be like, oh, no, the other guy should have gotten it. Like, they're like, if Hendricks gets it, Lester gets it, or Scherzer gets it, I would be equally like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Honestly, though, I would say that it's probably between John Lester and Max Scherzer. I think it's probably because there was something grander about what John Lester did. Lester did it for the whole season, whereas Kyle Hendricks kind of went unnoticed for a little while he figured things out in the beginning of the season, and it was kind of a slow but incredibly significant climb to where Kyle Hendricks got it. There was just something more grandiose about the way John Lester went about his business this year, and same deal for Max Scherzer, and maybe it's literally because of velocity and, you know, that kind of thing where you're just a little bit more of a dominant type pitcher, whereas Kyle Hendricks was pitch to contact, which I think is just as impressive. I just don't know if that gets noticed as much. So I think, to me, it comes down to Lester and Scherzer. If I had to pick who they're going to give it to, I would say Max Scherzer, to be honest with you.
All right. Hi, Mark. It's Romy. So,
hey, what's up?
Good. You sound so just, like, happy and relieved. I totally know that feeling. I've got all my Cubs gear on today just for you. You know, you can't see it. I'm supporting you in the...
You look wonderful.
Thank you. So sweet.
No home run homie shirt.
Yeah, I said no home run shirt.
Listen, I wore it the last day, too. I needed that. That's why I think why they won. The two home run homies was the last play of the World Series game. Coincidence? I think not. But in any case,
yeah, right. That one to the other, and that, like I said, that was—I mean, that might have been the most of all the nervous moments throughout this entire postseason.
Oh,
to me,
goodness.
That might have been the most nervous moment of all. Here's this innocuous ground ball, but it meant everything for the Cubs organization, for its fans, for everybody who has any interest vested into the Chicago Cubs. That little dribbler to Chris Bryant, on which, by the way, he slipped and fell down on and was smiling the entire time. And then the poise by Anthony Rizzo to not only catch the ball, but then pocket the baseball, immediately put it in his back pocket, and then the party was on.
That was, yeah, I rewatched that play, I can't tell you, countless of times between Wednesday and even up to today. I watched it before you got on. But any case, so with the Cubs being World Series champions, going on to next season, we have to talk about Chapman. There's been rumors that he met with the Giants, and now he's a free agent. And I said this months ago that in order for the Cubs to even ideally, for Chapman to ideally think about staying with the Cubs, they had to win the World Series. And what they do, they did it. So what do you think the Cubs or Madden has to do now to either keep Chapman or get an even better closer for the 2007 season?
Well, I think it sounds to me like, from everything that I've heard and from people that I've talked to, it sounds like Aroldis Chapman is going to go to the highest bidder. That for Aroldis Chapman, and this is, you know, I have no ill will towards him whatsoever, he is going for the dough at this point. I don't blame any athlete for going for the money. So it's, do the Cubs feel like that position, closer, is that valuable to invest $100 million in? My gut is that it's probably not, because let's face it, the Cubs went most of this season with Hector Rondon as the closer and did it in a very successful fashion. You know, and Rondon, I think, obviously kind of fell out of favor with Joe Maddon towards the end, but I still think he's a viable closer. You have Carl Edwards Jr. as a potential guy who could close as well. And then another free agent name, too, who I find very intriguing, and Kenley Jansen, the closer for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who we all saw what he was capable of doing, not only in the ninth inning, but in innings earlier than that. So I guess my guess would be honestly that I don't think Aroldis Chapman will end up back with the Cubs. I know that he liked being in Chicago. I know that he liked that clubhouse that he was a part of. I know that for a fact. But I don't know at this point that that's going to that's not going to necessarily resonate with Aroldis Chapman. It looks to me like he's going for the dough and that he holds the cards in that regard.
Talking to 6-9 The Score's Mark Grody here on ChicagoLandSportsRadio.com. Now, Mark, these guys, this team has actually now have become not just like sports icons, but sort of like cultural icons. I mean, they're making the rounds on TV. You had Fowler and Rizzo and I think Zobrist. Yeah, Rossi on Saturday Night Live, and him, them and Zobrist were on Jimmy Fallon. I got mixed up. Chris Bryant was on Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
Schwarber was on Live with Kelly and guest host A-Rod earlier this morning. I mean, it's crazy to think that the world is kind of gravitating, because we heard your calls in that post game, like people calling from outside the United States calling out how proud they were of this team. What do you think that the culture and the Go Cubs Go is now has charted on the Billboard in the Billboard Top 100? I mean, is it crazy to think like how people have outside of sports, people have gravitated toward this team.
Yeah, and I think that using the, you know, to call them pop culture is probably the right way to characterize it. I mean, you said with the W flags everywhere, like it's like you are required to have a W flag hanging from your business or from your house, your apartment, your high rise, whatever the case may be. Those are everywhere. You cannot escape Go Cubs Go. I mean, kids are singing it in schools, you're seeing it in businesses, you know, murals are being put up, and obviously what they do at the Art Institute, of course, that's with all teams. So there is a cultural pop sensation going on that is the Chicago Cubs. Now, it will be interesting to see if this lasts. I mean, usually when any team wins a championship, there's this blast of media. You'll see, you know, guys, you know, the New England, you'll see Tom Brady doing the talk show circuit or whatever, the, you know, LeBron James and, you know, Kyrie Irving and, you know, whomever, whatever team is that wins the championship, you'll see them popping up on the Jimmy Kimmels and the Jimmy Fallons of the world that you guys were just discussing. Now, typically in baseball, it's probably, you don't get that sort of commercial superstar out of baseball as you do in the other sports. You know, it's more common in basketball and football to see those guys, you know, the Peyton Mannings of the world, as we just mentioned, LeBron James, Michael Jordan. Those are the guys, those are the sports that tend to hog up most of the attention when it comes to being, you know, moving over from their sport to something more commercial. It will be interesting to see, though, if some of these Cubs players position themselves as national spokespersons going forward, or if this is just what it is, the little blast of excitement. I think somebody like Chris Bryant probably could bank as a national guy if he wanted to. Like, he could do the whole circuit and become something bigger than he is, and that is just a tremendous baseball player. But it'll be interesting to see, just because I know that baseball has always been the least involved in that kind of thing.
Mark, you know, we talked about Aroldis Chapman, how he's going to go to the highest bidder. I don't know if you can clear $100 million for a guy like that. Dexter Fowler declined that qualifying offer of about $15 million. Jason Hamill, he's already took out a full page thank you to Chicago. But as far as between the outfield and pitching, let's start with Dexter Fowler. With the success he had, is it kind of a foregone conclusion that the Cubs are going to try to do everything they can to keep him here in Chicago?
I don't think it is. I mean, they made the qualifying offer to Dexter Fowler, which is $17 million, so they would gladly take him back for 1 year and $17 million. But, again, it's going to depend on the market, you know, and if Dexter Fowler, if he's going to get some sort of whop, because there might be one team out there that gives him that whopper deal, and I'm sure Dexter Fowler would give the Cubs a chance to match it. And my guess is, at this point going forward, they probably will not for a whole bunch of reasons. I think the Cubs are a better team if they have Dexter Fowler on it, but they've got a couple of things here. They got to think about extending their own guys eventually. That is the Chris Bryants, Addison Russells, Kyle Schwarbers of the world. There's that aspect of it. And then there's the other part, too, that I think a lot of people forget, is that the Cubs found Dexter Fowler, okay? And I don't know that anybody in the Cubs world thought that when they signed Dexter Fowler, he would have the impact that he had. Trust me when I say that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer have targeted six or seven more potential Dexter Fowlers about the league, that they already know that they might have to replace this guy. And I guess we should all at this point trust that they can find that next guy. Is that next guy potentially on your team? Is it Albert Almora Jr.? I don't know that they feel that he's ready for it. But, yes, the Cubs are better off bringing back Dexter Fowler, but at their price. And if they don't bring him back, I trust that they've probably targeted many other potential guys who could be the next Dexter Fowler, because I don't think that anybody thought that you would get – Dexter Fowler was a good player when the Cubs signed him. Make no mistake about that. But I don't know that anybody thought that he would be as important to the Cubs as he has been over the last couple of years.
Now, do you think that since the Cubs do have a fairly young team, like most of, I think the majority of the players that were on for the field during the World Series were under 25 and under. Does that play a huge factor in the team going on?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the best part about them, that this is a team that has, as I like to say, there is legitimacy to it. We know that this wasn't a fluke, especially being that they, you know, relatively speaking, they have done it 2 years in a row. They didn't, you know, they stopped short last year when they got swept against the Mets. But to win the World Series this year, to make that next gargantuan leap and step forward with this young core of players, and it's the young guys on the team that factored in so heavily. Obviously, Kyle Schwarber made that, you know, incredible comeback and was a big factor in the World Series for the Cubs. We know what Chris Bryant is, Addison Russell, you know, Kyle Hendricks to some degree is not, you know, he's 26 or something like that.
Yes.
So even Anthony Rizzo, a whopping 27 years old. So to have a young core, not just a young core, but a super talented core, that portends well for many years, you know, for the next 3 to 5 years or whatever.
A couple more minutes with Mark Rohde now. Mark, now I think you just alluded to it, the fact that that Bovada has them as one of the favorites to win next year's World Series. Do you see anyone in the National League that can challenge them?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there will be. I always look in the Cubs division first, and, you know, I never, ever would underestimate or rule out the St. Louis Cardinals. I do feel like Pittsburgh is in a mini rebuilding stage to where they're not going to completely tear it down because they still have some really nice core pieces, but I think that next year might be a down year for the Pirates, and then they'll rise again quickly. So I always look at the Cardinals as potential in that way. We know what the Dodgers are, and we know that that's going to be, you know, under their leadership with Andrew Friedman, they're going to be a team that's going to be obsessed with getting even better in the offseason. So I think the Dodgers are for real. I think San Francisco, you know, considering the great first half they had last year, and then they kind of went downhill in the second half, I think that San Francisco will rise again. I also think the New York Mets. I mean, Mets did a lot with very little health on their side this year, and if they get healthy again on that starting staff, the Mets are another one of those teams that's just going to be around and competing for the National League title every single year. So do I think the Cubs are the best of the bunch? Absolutely. But I do think that there are teams that will compete. And Washington, too. There's no reason to suggest or to see why they would take a step back either. As a matter of fact, they might be the Cubs' stiffest competition if you talk about the National League as a whole.
After Game 7, I think just years from now we'll look back and say still it was the best Game 7 we've seen in baseball, maybe, let alone sports. How do you feel about that, Mark?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you're able to look at it objectively, which I know was hard to do while the game was going on, but I remember even having that conversation with Pat and Ron during the rain delay when the game was tied and everybody's spirits were kind of low, but I kind of said it to the guys. I was like, if it's possible, if you looked at this game, this has been an incredibly entertaining game if you are, say, a fan for the Cincinnati Reds or some team that's not involved at all. Just enjoying it from the entertainment factor. Yeah, I mean, it had everything. It had big, it had massive home runs. It had rain delay. It had extra innings, so it had game-winning hits. It had drama in just about every inning, it felt like. It had, you know, weird managerial moves, so it had a little bit of everything. And, I mean, I'd have to go back and look at the rest of the Game 7s because I'm sure that, you know, at this very moment we're all looking at is the most entertaining one of all time, but I'm sure there's been others that have been as entertaining, if not more, but this one definitely stands out.
Now, I don't know about you, but for me, for the fact that the Cubs did a 3-1 deficit in Cleveland, and Cleveland did the same thing in basketball, that was, I believe, the sweetest feeling and the biggest kind of like mock in the face to the whole city of Cleveland, that they did what their team did to win the championship. And I guess we had to a little bit thank Cleveland for giving us that 3-1 deficit hope in Game 7.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, that was like one thing that, because there wasn't a whole lot going in the Cubs' favor in terms of history when they were down 3-1. I think the last team that had come back from a 3-1 deficit and had to do it on the road, in essence, was the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1979. When I know none of you guys were alive, but that was how long ago it was for that. And then it was funny because that Cleveland thing that you just mentioned, that was the one thing that kind of like said, okay, yeah, that did happen. And the stories were similar, in terms of Golden State with that crazy good regular season that they had, and, you know, and then they blow it when they're up 3-1 and 1 win away from taking it all, and luckily it worked in the favor of the Cubs this year. But yeah, you try to find little pieces to hold on to, and that was one of the only ones.
Okay, Mark, so what's going to be up for you this off season? It's very short. I mean, they got the baseball classic coming up, and and then you got spring training after that. So, well, how are you going to enjoy your time off?
I am pretty much just going to lay on my couch. That's pretty much going to be it. Maybe eat a little bit of food and stuff like that. So, but no, I'll be doing some work at the Score eventually. I'm taking a couple weeks off now, and then I will go back to the Score, work a couple days a week, just do whatever they need me to do to justify my existence until baseball starts again. So you will hear me again soon on good old 670 The Score, hosting shows, doing updates, whatever it is that they need me to do to justify myself.
Oh, I think justify yourself just fine. We love you, Mark, at Mark Grody Sports on Twitter. We'll definitely have you back on again. Mark, you're a friend of the show, and thanks for joining us. Enjoy that time off. You earned it.
Yeah, thanks for the time, Mark.
I will. Thank you, guys. Always a pleasure coming on. We'll talk to you soon.